gotta take my shot. Running like a bull, El Toro Martinez coming high, huh? Gotta take my shot. Running like a bull, El Toro Martinez coming high, huh? Gotta take my shot. Running like a bull, El Toro Martinez coming high, huh? Gotta take my shot. I'm running like a bull.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 75 of the Interviews podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of the second leg of the Champions League round of 16, Atletico versus Inter, which finishes 2-1 to the hosts. Goals from Di Marco in the 33rd, Griezmann in the 35th, Memphis Depay in the 87th, and then after a scoreless extra time, Atletico gets the win, 3-2 on PKs. We missed three PKs. They didn't even need to take their fifth. So Inter has been eliminated from the Champions League. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. We do have a special guest joining us today. Unfortunately, it's not the best circumstances. But Johnny, why don't you tell us who we're hanging out with today?
Yeah, I was super excited to get this guy on. Unfortunately, I picked the wrong episode to get him on for. Probably should have tried to get him on one of the earlier ones. But we have Stefan Rossi here. You guys may know him from Twitter. You also may recognize his voice from the Lautaro song that Sharma used in that awesome Lautaro, highlight reel, really. It was such a banger of a song. That beat was sick too. Super excited to have you on, even though the circumstances aren't the best, man.
Thanks, boys. Honored to be on. I listen to you every week, and I'm always kind of chiming in to no one, just to my car. I agree with both of you, and I kind of see Alessandro on my left shoulder as the little angel, and then Gianni sometimes on the right shoulder as a little devil, because the opinions, and I'm kind of looking at either side going, yeah, I get that, I don't know about that. So it's good. I think most of us can say the same. But thanks for having me on, boys.
Thanks for jumping on. I am not going to be the angel today, unfortunately. I mean, I'll do my best, but This is a post-match reaction, and this wasn't just, you know, a league game where we didn't play well and it's not going to affect the rest of the season. We've been eliminated. We're knocked out of Europe, and I think coming into the there's a balancing act, right? Because coming into the season, the objective was the second star. You know, 20th Scudetto, and it wasn't really a big emphasis to focus on Champions League. But then this season has occurred, and you feel like, okay, this team has a chance to do something really special. And it's that's the part that sucks. You know, at the end of the day, like, if we look back on this season and we've won the Supercoppa and we've won the second star, but we got dumped in the Champions League, you know, hopefully you look back on it and you say, wow, this has been a stellar season. But today, right now, this sucks. That was not a good performance. That was difficult to watch. So, Johnny, I'll kick it over to you. Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the match and talk about these players, just how are you feeling right now?
Definitely humbled, for sure. I think I was a little arrogant with the way that we were playing. I think I thought that this game was a formality. I really thought that after the display that we saw against Bologna, with the way that we were able to, you know, just set up shop, really lock it down, not give them any chances, I expected us to be able to do the same thing in this matchup. Now, granted, I know Atletico has much more talent in attack than Bologna does. They have much more depth, much more available at their disposal, and they have a much more experienced manager in Simeone, who knows how to handle these games. He's been in these moments. And Thiago Motta, really, this is like his first foray into you know, successful managerial
Thiago level. Motta.
So, well, I was comparing Bologna and
gotcha.
So, but yeah, Simeone was able to handle this one much better. You know, I was in spaces saying that I expected them to come out really aggressive in the first 25-30 minutes, that they were going to really try to get a goal early to kind of just ease the thing. And that's really what we saw in the beginning. I mean, fortunately, we were able to get the lead. But after what I saw, you know, I think that it just kind of like made me recognize that, you know what, we may not be as invincible as I thought, at least in the European stage. You know, in Italy, completely different beasts. I think we're much more confident. But this was a very humbling experience for sure.
I don't totally agree with that. But before I give sort of my rebuttal, Steph, coming into the game, what was your expectation for how this would go?
I don't think I was super confident, like this is a done deal, no stress, but I was pretty calm. This team, unlike many other years before, has kept me pretty calm this season. Having pretty much the Scudetto wrapped up this early, I really thought today our players would be on another level mentally in terms of like so much energy. You know, we rested a lot of these guys against Bologna too. So there was really no excuses for some of the individual performances as well. I don't want to get ahead of myself and start bringing up topics that I shouldn't just yet. But for me, just to simplify it, I wasn't ultra confident, but I wasn't scared. Just because the way we've been playing, we've conceded bugger all. One of the best records in our own history. So I thought that we could get the job done. However, one thing I was very scared of was the fact that Arnautovic missed two other goals in the first leg. I did say this is going to come back and bite us. And that was the theme of last season, was having four or five chances in the first half and then the second half getting pinched and drawing one or losing like 1-0. It kind of was reflective of that, but across the second leg. So first leg to the second leg.
Yeah. So I think, Johnny, you bring up a good sort of reflection that I think a lot of Interista are probably having right now, which is like, how good are we really, right? Running through Serie A, but dumped out of the Champions League at a stage where, given what this team has shown all season, feels like a disappointment. And I think it's fair to have those questions. What I do think is also really important to say is like, it's very second legs away from home, especially like we're not Man City drawn against Copenhagen. Like we're playing at the Metropolitano, which is incredibly difficult place to play against a team that is super well drilled. So I don't think that I ever expected it to look really pretty today. But we're not having this conversation if Thuram and Barella finish off their chances that were easy chances that were created on the counter. I think I saw Nima say, you know, oh, Simeone tactically outclassed Inzaghi today. And like, I didn't really see it like that. I saw a team that was down on the aggregate that really needed to play hard. I saw an Inter team that maybe fed into the notion of like, let's manage the game and see it out a little too much. But they also created like golden opportunities that should have been put away. And we're not really questioning, you know, we're just saying it's a tough game. And we did what we had to do when we won the game. It's not for me, like I what I don't want to happen is like, now I know the Arsenal fans are going to come out of the woodworks. Now I know the Juventini are going to come out of the woodworks. And everyone is going to start saying, you guys are not as good as you thought you were. I don't see it that way. We played 120 minutes and went to penalties against a really good team. This team is not built for penalties. I don't know why we didn't go for it
definitely
that much.
Not for penalties.
Absolutely not built for penalties. There were a couple substitutions that could have been made, like Carlos Augusto or Arnautovic, but they weren't available to us. And those would have been really important players to come on in those moments. And Thuram and Barella, like, I don't want to pick at anyone and say it's your fault, but like, you have to put those away. You're playing against a team that is coming at you and they're fighting for their lives. You get an opportunity where you're not even like one-on-one with a defender or whatever. It's Thuram skies it over the bar and Barella places it right at him.
The Thuram one was the one. Like that, I haven't yelled like that in my lounge room since Lautaro missed against Juve last season when he could have equalized. That was like, I was literally on my knees looking up at the sky like I was in platoon with Willem Dafoe. Like, nah, because that was the one. That was the one for me. That was the goal.
Yeah, like the Barella one, I'm a little bit not so critical about it, only because I don't understand why Lautaro plays it through instead of you have Barella on the left wide. If you literally just play it left and you push it to him in front of him, he can run onto that, run into space, and probably has a better chance to pick his side. That correct. One, the ball's going away from him. He tries to wrap his foot around it. Do I think it's a good... I still think he should have done better, but at least he got it on goal as opposed to Thuram, who just skies it over the net. Like, if you play that to the left of him, way better situation for Barella to play onto, but I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, that's Lautaro's fault. I do think that that pass could have been better. That's all.
And, Johnny, you know what that comes down to? Barella's first touch was actually a bit off. He kind of touched it a bit too wide, and he created a very tough angle. I don't know if you remember, there was quite a big game where he took a beautiful... He actually received the ball in a similar position. He took a beautiful touch, but then he actually positioned his body onto the other side. So for me, when I watched the replay in slow-mo, I was actually disappointed more in that touch and the body shift. I felt like he didn't really do what he's done in the past. I wish I could remember the exact game, but he took a touch, stepped on the other side, opened up his body and flattened it through the floor. I don't know if you remember that goal. It was one of his best goals. And I was like, he didn't do what we expect. And that's the thing with someone like Barella, who usually leathers those and does score. Last season was his goal scoring record, and he was doing shit like that all the time. So I think that's where we get the disappointment. But I think you're right. It wasn't as bad a miss as Thuram's.
And if you look at the flow of the game, in the first half, we started, and we'll go through all the chances. This game had a lot in it. But in the first half, let's just look at it in terms of, you ever see those charts where it's like game momentum? In the first half, you know, it started Atletico's way, and then Inter took control, and then Atletico responded immediately, and they finished the first half on a high. But either way, I think both teams had four shots on target. It was an even game, an even game. In the second half, Atletico, you know, they took the initiative because they had to, right? They're still down on aggregate, and there is a mentality among Italian coaches, Italian teams, to sort of try to see things out. We had opportunities to shift the momentum. And once we missed those chances, that's when you saw it like completely fall apart at the back, where it's, you know, whether it's the Vrij not sticking to Depay, a man that's running around in the butt, like he should never have that much space, or whether it's the last opportunity of the game that Riquelme puts it over the bar and it should have been done and dusted right there. It's like, this is what you get. It's a game of inches. It's a game of inches. And if you don't take your chances, you're going to get punished. And Inter was punished today. This is going to be an interesting one to look. Go ahead. Johnny, go ahead.
I was just going to say away goal rule, and we would have won that though.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of talk about that.
I just don't. That was such a beautiful thing in the game, in the Champions League. I don't know why you got rid of that to begin with, but we don't have to go there. I just was, it just came to my mind. That's all.
I agree.
Yeah, and the games are.
This away goal rule helps some. The no double goal helps someone like Atletico so much, who rely so much on their home form, where they can probably grind out the 3 points, but they will still concede and they'll probably score a late goal, which they kind of do in their own league, don't they? They win like 4-3 against Real or against Barca, but only at the Vanda. So it's definitely a bit of a slap in the face, but at the same time, I guess it works both ways, doesn't it? Last year, we had a couple of 3-3s and stuff like that, which I think against Barca, it would have been like 6-3 or something. So that kind of sucks. But I agree, Alessandro. And it's reflective of the season of old, the last season, where in the Scudetto, I should say, where we didn't bury those chances and they come back to buy you. And I think missing chances gives the rest of the team shaky legs. Everyone starts to get scared. Doubt starts to creep in. We're talking the elite, elite level of football at the highest, or soccer at the highest, highest level. So when you see your captain miss that header at the front post for the corner, you're like, fuck, we got another 25 minutes of work to do now, maybe defending the next 10. For me, I actually am going to come out with a with an opinion that could be a very hard take. I don't think Atletico was that good today. In terms of like passages of play, their first goal was fucking shit. De Vrij released it to the wrong player right in front of him. We've seen that multiple times now. We don't clear the ball correctly from one or two suspect victims. For me, Bissek was one of the best defenders on the pitch today. And that was a clean tackle. That was not a yellow card. That was a beautiful, beautiful tackle. And in the 90s or the early 2000s, that would be rewarded. That would be a celebration in a stadium like that. Okay? So for me, yeah, that's definitely important that those clearances. We saw it. Didn't we see it last? Was it against Genoa? We cleared it straight to them. Boom. First time, they leathered it straight into the net. Those clearances. And, you know, you see Bissek clear it. He actually looks wide. He actually looks to header it out to the right or the left because you know if someone gets on that loose ball, they can't just smack it in. They have to work their body for an angle. When you put it straight, you can just hit it. Even if you're off balance, you can just smack it off one foot. That killed me.
I agree with you on the shaky legs, by the way. I think there was a point where the 90 had finished and you saw both teams sort of readying themselves for extra time. And you just like, you could feel the sense of being deflated coming through the screen when they had the, you know, the camera panning over the Inter players as opposed to Atletico looked psyched and ready to go, which I think, you know, part of it is the fact that they're playing at a cauldron. And it's boiling that stadium and they're, you know, they're having a good time and they're feeling good about themselves. And while Inter is feeling the weight of having missed opportunities to, you know, to bury it, I'm going to stand by these next few weeks in the Inter world are going to be very interesting because we are going to, as we have been taking all season, we're going to be taking, you know, the arrows from every which way and we'll see, you know, how we hold up. I think I'm already getting cooked.
So it's over.
Yeah. It's over. I just took a hiatus from Twitter. I think I'm going to take another one, but I already, see some takes even from Interisti that are just like preposterous, man. It's like,
yeah, I don't understand. I mean, and you guys know, like, I was even backing Inzaghi last season. You probably, I don't know if me and Johnny had some tweets to each other or something like that, but I was still backing Inzaghi last season, even after 12 losses, because I was like, I can see good football. Like, that's all I need to see. Yes, the balance is a bit wrong, but like, you give us, you know, certain players to come into some positions where I thought there was a lot of weaknesses and we still would have been great last year. But for me, I can't take the, like, it's all hindsight bias, correct? Like if we draw today, everyone's like, that was so smart by Inzaghi to bring on Bissek, who I thought was unbelievable. The Acerbi left center back thing, I don't know about that one. I don't know why Bastoni came off. I don't feel like Bastoni was so effective going forward anyway. So I don't know why people are saying, oh, like for me, I thought Acerbi broke forward a couple of times as well. And I thought Di Marco was doing a good deal going forward anyway. So I didn't feel like we got a lot of overlap from Bastoni as much as usual. So I don't get the upsetting choice in that. But also, no Arnautovic, no Carlos Augusto. Those guys, Arnautovic could have relieved Turam of his duties and a header like that. I mean, then again, I don't know if he would bury it, but he's a big boy. He's a big body. Sanchez did really well coming off the bench, I think. But yeah, I definitely think that, you know, you can't throw it all at Inzaghi. Look, there's always blame to be spread and shared. It's not just Turam's fault. De Vrij was at fault for some stuff. A lot of players had issues and that's normal. Even Mickey was non-existent for the first 45 minutes.
Yeah, we'll talk about all these players because, you know, there's a lot to say about what we saw today. I think, all right, let's all take a deep breath and talk about this game because it was a hell of a game and better football than, you know, any other games that you'll see. That's me taking some shots at some people who have disrespected us, but let's go ahead and get into it. So first, I'd say first like 15 minutes or so, Inter had a hard time getting into the game. The first real highlight is about 5 minutes into the game, Samuelino, you know, bursts into the box and he drives a low left-footed shot that Sommer gets down well to save. I thought Sommer had himself a really good game. Obviously, the giveaway to Depay later in the game was tough, but early on, you know, with that save,
he just wanted a shot on goal. That's all. That's all he wanted. Yeah. You know, he was a little bored in extra time. He just wanted something to be coming his way. That's how I looked at that.
But having to make that save 5 minutes into the game, you're like, okay, you know, a little bit less defensively solid. That shot never should have happened, at least from Pavard closing him down. It was a little scare early on, but 13 minutes later, this is something that I want to talk about. So coming into the game, I said that starting Dumfries was the right move. I stand by it because I don't think that Darmian from the start would have been the best way to go about it. But Dumfries gets space, shoots it right at Oblak, and then on the rebound, instead of laying it off to Lauti, he shoots it with his left foot right into Oblak again. At this point, Johnny, what blood pressure number are you working with?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, listen, I wasn't upset with the first shot. I was obviously upset with the finish. But yes, once that second ball comes back to you, I wanted him to compose himself, look to his left, give it to your captain. Although with the way that he was shooting recently and the way he took that penalty, who knows where that ball ends up. But I would have hoped that he would have been able to get it on goal. You know, and then seeing how Oblak reacted to the second one and was not so sure-handed, in my mind, if I'm an Inter attacker, after seeing that, I'm thinking everything on goal. His hands aren't like ready for this. Like, just put it on net. Who knows what happens? Maybe you get a lucky bounce, whatever. As soon as I saw that, because it wasn't the best shot right at him, and he goes down and it rolls up his arm and up his chest and almost rolls over him and into the net. Like, that would have been insane if that actually did go in. But I honestly, like, when you see shaky hands, I'm like, that's it. Just I'm peppering you all day. And if you're going to make saves, you're going to make saves. But we're going to not make it easy for you.
Yeah, or place it to one side of him and let him spill the ball out continuously into the box. At least, you know, that would have been better for the Barella and Thuram chances. But anyway, we move 28th minute. Hermoso whips a ball into the box, gets to Morata. He had a free header, and he placed it too close to Sommer. Sommer brings it down. But you're starting to see bits and pieces of little cracks in the defense. I'm starting to see a little leakiness. So eventually we break through, though, at the 33rd minute. DiMarco scores a beautiful combination down the left-hand side. Barella, Bastoni involved. Releases DiMarco into the box, and he's able to finish past Oblak. Steph, at this point, how confident are you in the tie after Inter goes 1-0 up, you know, with 10 minutes left in the first half?
I thought it was over. I thought we won. I was running around the house like a madman, celebrating. I thought this Inter, you know, is just on another level, and that goal was so beautiful. It was his weaker foot as well. The passage of play, the way he ran through into the inside. I was like, we're just unstoppable. I actually text my dad, we're the best, like DJ Khaled. And he was like, yeah. And then like 2 minutes later, like, what? So yeah, I literally thought it was over, bro. I have to be brutally honest. I thought it was over.
I did too. As soon as that ball goes in, I'm like, this, you know, we're talking about the best defense in Europe. You know, you're going to come back from two goals down. I was feeling really good about it, but obviously those early cracks in the defense came back to bite us as the game went on, and actually came back to bite us immediately. 2 minutes later, De Vrij does not clear well under pressure, plays it straight to Koke. Koke loops a pass through. It hits, I believe, Pavard, and then hits Bastoni's arm, and then eventually finds its way to Griezmann, who's way by himself, also probably likely offside, but hitting Pavard and Bastoni plays him. I don't remember it exactly, but it looked to me like he was off, but it didn't matter because Pavard and Bastoni played it into him. So Griezmann puts it away. It goes 1-1 in the game and 2-1 on aggregate. I don't know why I never saw a replay of the Koke delivery, because it almost looked like he did get a hand to it. I'm just saying what I saw.
Wait, Koke did?
Koke, yeah. When the ball came out to him before he played it in, I thought, but we never saw the replay, so I have no idea.
For me, I turn my attention I turn my attention to Pavard missing with the left foot. Like, it's he's so much like a robot at times defending in Serie A. I just expected him to just clear that out with one touch. And just seeing that just broke me. I was like, oh, like, I did look at the offside and I was like, please, God, please. I hope Griezmann got like a, Morata got a little touch or like a flick on the knee. It looked like it nearly hit his knee. And I was like, he's in an offside position if that touched his knee. But you're right, Alessandro, when you saw the way it like flicked on from our defender, you just, your heart sank.
Yeah, Johnny, at this point, you know, Are you starting to get nervous given how shaky we've been looking and they respond immediately?
So with that goal that Griezmann ended up getting, the Pavard miss was crucial. But then if you look at the follow, like once it goes through, it hits Bastoni in the hand and he kind of does handle it and is able to go to Griezmann. So even if, let's say that ball doesn't get through to Griezmann, chances are they're going to call a penalty there anyway because he did handle it. Like, so that's... Am I upset about the goal? Absolutely. But I'm more upset with Pavard obviously not being able to clear it properly. And then, in my opinion, it still would have been a penalty if he doesn't score. And then what? You got an opportunity. Like, yeah, maybe Sommer saves it. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But, I mean, it just would have been a tough situation going forward from there. So I'm not obviously happy with the outcome. But the way I look at it is like, okay, even if he doesn't score, there's still a chance for Atletico to get on the board with a penalty here. So that's kind of how I justified it in my head, even though I was not feeling good. I didn't think that we would go into a shell. I thought that we'd be able to weather that and then probably press forward and get that second goal ourselves in the match to then just put it away. But yeah. I was not nervous actually at that point. I was still pretty confident, to be quite honest.
Yeah, it is surprising. I thought that we definitely shelled up a little early. Actually, after Atleti scored the 1-1, they did have a furious end to that first half. Griezmann also got into the box, you know, turned De Vrij, and thank God for Pavard in that moment, or else things could have gotten really ugly. But yeah, it was a first half where, at least going into the second, like I tweeted, like, I'm calm. We've been in situations before where we haven't played our best, and then, you know, eventually in the second half we're able to come out and really play better. If Bologna was any indication, it's almost like you're trying out what it's like to go into a second half where you're not really attacking, right? You're sort of, let's see what batting down the hatches for 45 minutes look like. And you know, Bologna didn't create much, but like Johnny said at the start of the show, Atletico is not Bologna, and turning into that shell in the second half was tough. Steph, Inzaghi's man management in the second 45. What are your what's your thoughts there?
Look, I felt like we came out firing. I definitely felt like there was a bit of a boost in the legs, even for like running onto those loose balls and people running for each other a little bit more. I felt like we definitely weren't doing that sacrificial running that we usually do where, like, you know, a player rounds. Because let's be honest, like, we don't round a lot of players and we do get rounded a bit, but we always have a numerical advantage that Inzaghi implements that helps. But if your players aren't running and doing, we call them in Australia little doggies, running back like a dog, to get back and overload that zonal play, which I wasn't seeing in the first half. I felt like the first 10 minutes of the second half, I was like, all right, we're here to fight. We're here to go. We're here to hit hard. But then once again, goes back to what I said, you know, like you're going to have transition periods. You're not going to dominate the game for 90 minutes holding the ball like we do in Serie A. That's just a fact. So, and I felt like we had matured a lot this season. And were able to win ugly at times, and not all the time, not Juventus garbage style football where they just grind out results. We haven't been that, but when we need to be that, we haven't. And one thing I want to talk about in that second half is one of our statistics died today. And I don't know if you guys remembered it, but I remembered it as soon as it happened.
Oh, just hit me.
The 75th minute to the 90 plus. So it's actually been the last 20 minutes. Let's say average 20 minutes, not 15. It died today. So that's where I was really disappointed. Not in the stat, but in that we lose that stat in one of our biggest games. For me, there's been two turning points in this season. One was the U of A, one was today. We win one, we lost one. That's a football fan, guys.
Yeah, I keep thinking of, like, again, what Johnny was saying. Like, how do you assess Inter's season or our standing as one of the best teams in Europe after this performance? But the reality is, it's like our shit day came on a knockout game. Like usually we bat down the hatches in the 75th. Carlos Augusto would have played a big role in that as well, in being able to come on. And man, it sucks. Like, but anyway,
for me, like, I probably won't be able to stick around, boys, for the full ratings. Unfortunately, I really want to do that with you guys in the future. But the extra time and penalties definitely put me in a tough position. But yeah, I'm just happy to be on. So thanks for having me still. But for me, like, one thing that really hurt me was the reaction from Inter fans. I'm in a big Inter Australia chat, big Inter Adelaide chat, and then obviously being in cultural Twitter. I mean, I'm with you boys. I see all your tweets all the time. I've favorited interviews as well, so I get a lot of the updates. But one of the big issues is the way we just turn internally and start destroying each other's opinions. Like, at the end of the day, you've got to live by the sword and die by the sword together. Our objective was the second star, right? And we have triumphed that into oblivion. We could actually beat Conte's Juventus record. So let's not, I just want to say this now, let's not get down on ourselves, start turning on each other, turning on the manager, because we went from 12 losses last year to one loss, and the Champions League is not our objective yet. We need to build some kind of Serie A dynasty before we can worry about the Champions League. And that's why I still think Mancini gets a lot of hate, because for three seasons, Moratti was giving him everything in a day and he still couldn't get us there. At the end of the day, we're not giving Inzaghi everything in a day. We're not dropping 80 million on strikers from Fiorentina, or, you know, 55 million on midfielders just like at the drop of a dime. So let's take a deep breath. Let's realize what we're working with. We are in financial ruin, but we've obliterated the Scudetto. We are better than Napoli last season. It shows in the numbers. Let's stay positive, everyone. There's a message to all my Interisti. It's all love. Let's keep pushing.
I love that. The listeners know that I love that. I love the positivity. And I agree with you.
Me a believer, to be honest. I was ready to walk in front of traffic today, and now this guy just pulled me back in. So, yeah, no, well said. Well,
the only reason we can see us winning the Champions League is because we're so good in the league. But the year we won the treble with Mourinho, we had like 10 draws and like 4 losses, bro. So it doesn't always correlate like that. And Conte used to obliterate the Scudetto and couldn't get past like the smallest of teams at times with that stacked Juve that owned their own stadium. So let's just pump the brakes. I'm disappointed. If you saw my wife and son this morning, you'd think there was like a bear in the lounge room and they were up against the wall, like, what's happening? but at the same time, like, I'm upset too, but I can also regulate my emotions and understand, like, this shirt changes next year. We get 2 stars on it. Let's just pump the brakes. Objective's done. Inzaghi is a young manager. We're a young team in parts, you know, and we need to take baby steps towards consistent dominance. Okay, we've remained competitive. Now dominance will take time.
Yeah, there are a lot of gutless Inter like Twitter people. So yeah, we'll be seeing a lot of the hatred, unfortunately, over the next couple of days. But I agree with you. Like, I don't want 120 minutes and a shit penalty shootout to change the perception of what Inter is doing this year and how amazing it's been. But, you know, we'll get through the emotion of today, and then we can sort of reassess everyone's feelings afterwards. John, are you feeling pumped up after Steph's little powwow there?
Dude, I'm. You know what? Maybe I will change my negative outlook right now. I think I feel like a little uplifted in the spirits here. That was
Henry Namor, Johnny. Come honestly, on.
It was really well said, to be honest. And you know, like when you look at it from a high level view, and you look at the debt, like everyone keeps saying we're the deepest team in the league. We're the deepest team in the league. But then when you look at what we brought on compared to what Atletico was able to bring on, I mean, imagine having Angel Correa off the bench. You know, like that's a great player. He really probably should be starting for almost any other La Liga team. He definitely would be starting for pretty much every Serie A team, let's be honest. And he comes on, he's able to have an impact. They have two youngsters who are fantastic in Riquelme and Barrios. Like Barrios is, I mean, supposed to be like the next big midfielder for them. We don't have those types of players coming off the bench. Like we went to Acerbi and Darmian first. Class players, no question about it, but they're old. You know, they're a little long in the tooth. Darmian did not look great, in my opinion. I actually felt a little nervy at times with him out there. Yeah. We brought on Klaassen, Alexis Sanchez, guys that probably wouldn't be able to make it really almost anywhere. You know, like we are missing pieces to have been competitive on multiple fronts. Now, am I still disappointed? Absolutely. I am. That loss is going to bother me for a little bit. However, just like Steph said, like we are on the precipice of possibly breaking the points record. We have an opportunity to set the clean sheet record. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom. And they did say in the beginning of the year, like he said too, that the objective was the second star. That's pretty much already wrapped up. Really, it's just really just putting all the cherries on top of the ice cream here. So,
I'd like to evaluate Inter by... Oh, sorry, guys. I got a bit of a delay there.
No, he was just saying knock on wood.
Oh, yes. I always evaluate my club based on the objectives of the sporting directors and not the objectives of people behind a screen on their phone. And people like Marotta that get praise for how good he is, but then don't get praise for choosing Inzaghi, for signing the players. So that doesn't really make much sense to me. So if you're going to praise Marotta for the great work he does, you have to praise him for the objectives he sets our squad as well, because he understands the limitations in which we can arrive at, right? Correct. So you need to judge from sometimes an unbiased, unemotional view at times and say, look, at the end of the day, we were meant to capitulate into nothing after Conte left us high and dry. We lost three starters and a coach. We're back. We are here. We're still fighting. And yes, Gianni, another thing, everyone goes on about our depth. Our depth is good in Serie A. This depth is probably eighth or ninth in most of these other leagues when you've got people like Memphis Depay. Put it this way, if you've got Sanchez, Depay and Correa on your bench and Arnautovic, you're not putting on the two Inter subs first. You're putting those two guys first. You are. And you saw it today. Their movements. Even just in their knees and their hips, you can see the movement, man, the speed, the flexibility. It's just the very minor things you take for granted. So look, for me, all in all, in that space, in what you just said, Gianni, and even Alessandro, you have to take it for what it is. You win and lose games, you know? Can't win everything.
Yeah, and Simone in the press conference also called out the fact that we had our opportunities, and when you don't put them away, these kind of things happen in the Champions League. So, all right, little diversion there. Let's just finish out this second half here. I don't know, Steph, are you able to stay on, or you got to bounce?
I have to bounce in about five.
Okay. All right, so let's run through this this second half as quickly as possible, even though there was a ton of action. So 52nd minute, DiMarco gets sombreroed by Llorente, cuts across a pass to Griezmann, who just right-foots it at Sommer, probably should have done better with his chance there. And again, Interisti's blood pressure is soaring. In the 60th, Morata takes a pass down. First time strike, sends it over the goal. Again, should have done better with that. 75th minute, Atletico have another shot on goal. Riquelme makes an immediate impact, drives across the edge of the box and drills a you know, looks to drill across into the low corner, but it gets deflected wide. And then in the 76th minute, 1 minute later, after soaking up all that pressure from Atleti for the majority of the beginning of that second half, Lautaro plays in Thuram, who's one-on-one with Oblak. And we've seen it so many times from Inter strikers this year where they lean back on these shots that are so close to net and just boot them over the ball. And it's so frustrating. Like, you could have played it on the ground to either side. You could have chosen a number of different ways to strike that. And we've seen it many times where they chose the absolute worst thing to do in that moment. And Thuram skies it over. That was tough to watch. That was tough to watch. I'm getting some head nods.
So for me, that was a defining moment. Like last season when, I don't know if you boys remember, when Lautaro missed the equalizer for the 1-1 against Juventus. It just felt like the whole team kind of broke internally as well, along with the fans. And I love Thuram. And one thing I'll quote Nima, because I think he's really good at what he does, and we like to chat as well, like I chat with you boys and stuff on X and Twitter, whatever. Thuram's finishing, it's always going to have a bit of a question mark until he starts to score one goal off one chance. And even though I think he's added so many more things than we had last season, and I think he's so important for this team. I feel like we're not bottom of the list in dribbles anymore because Thuram's here. I think those misses bleed into the team's mental. And I think that in situations like that, that's where you need the leadership with people like Lautaro and stuff to really step up and lift the boys to keep fighting. We showed a lack of maturity after that miss as a collective. So, yeah, that one hurt. And, yeah, like I said before, it was reflective of last year's season, that moment.
Yeah, and also not exactly surprising either from Thuram, who definitely, you know, he's still a young player and has a lot to work on. And I think the finishing is definitely something that he needs to put the work in over the offseason. Come back next year and up the target for goals, because that was a tough one to miss in a big spot.
All right, boys, I do have to bounce. Thank you so much for having me.
We had to end off. Thanks so much for coming on, man. For coming through.
That's all right. I hope
plug yourself before you go.
Plug me. Stefan Rossi, Stefan Rossi _ on X. Then I've also got Inter Rossi, which is a bit more of an Inter page where I can go ham on people that talk shit about my boys. Check me out. I'm also on Spotify, Apple Music. I'm a hip-hop artist. I literally have direct contact with Mirko Mengozzi recently and got him to feature and approve his vocals for my single Martinez, which was the last single from my EP Metallo. So look, if you're into hip hop and you want to support a fellow Interista in their career, please follow me. Please, on X and Spotify. It would mean the world to me. I just dropped a new single today as well. So go and check me out. And also check out my takes on X. I feel like I like to be the voice of reason as someone who used to be super emotional when it came to football. I've worked my way into a stoic place at times. So thanks very much for having me, boys. I do want to come back on and do a player ratings with you guys one time, because I just want to see if I can give anyone a 9.5, because I don't think I've heard it yet. So thanks very much. Always good to chat. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing. The giveaways are great with the cards as well, Johnny. I feel like you got me into cards, so that's really cool. And I think there's a lot of people out there that if they're not into cards, they just want Inter memorabilia. Like you keep anything Inter. You know what I mean? I keep the bottle caps if I see a Peroni with an Inter bottle cap. You know. So thanks very much, boys. Peace, and appreciate you both for having me. I wish I could have stayed longer, but unfortunately, with the time schedules and the overtime, extra time, and the penalties put me out. But thank you very much. Keep listening to interviews. Subscribe as well, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate you jumping on.
Definitely check him out, guys. We're definitely going to tag him too on the tweet, obviously, that when we put the episode out. So tag him there, and I'll try to even like include his Spotify page for his music. I mean, that Martinez song is
fire,
a banger. So I mean, yeah. I love it. Actually, it's the beat is just unreal.
Right. Johnny, will you allow me something for the rest of this pod? Love having him on. I thought his takes were amazing, and I do agree with the positivity. But I need to
go ahead, man. Get it out.
I need to get treat it the rest out. Of this. It,
honestly, like session. I think he subdued me a little bit. So, but I'll let you have the villain title
and
this episode.
I don't want to be villainous. I'm not saying I want to attack anyone.
You're gonna
anyone.
Be the villain now.
No. I just like. He's talking about the stoicism and not getting emotional about football. I'm very emotional right now, and I just want to therapize about it a little bit, have a little therapy session, and then move on and not disrespect what this team has done all year. Let's just finish out the second half. So we have the Thuram miss a few minutes later. Depay gets an opportunity, yada yada. Another Martinez Lautaro almost assist to Barella, strikes it right at Oblak, which is just so infuriating. So infuriating that we couldn't have done better with those chances. But again, we won't continue to beat that over the head. 3 minutes left in the game, or 3 minutes left in the 90. Koke picks the ball up outside the box, plays a pass through to Depay, who had somehow gotten away from De Vrij. And hit the 2-1. Just nothing that Sommer could do there. Drove it into the bottom left corner. The crowd goes wild. It was just it was like everything that Inter didn't need at that moment in time. Just a complete lack of focus. And yeah, so that's the game. Or at least the 90. And Inter lost the 92-1. All right. In the extra time, we had the Thuram header, which I actually don't really want to kill him with. I know he was completely alone, but that was a hard ball to adjust. It wasn't like perfectly placed for him. I think I would have liked.
I think it was perfectly placed. I think he got up early.
He got up early.
I think he jumped a little too soon.
But it seemed like it was going over his head the way that he hit it. Or at least from how I remember
I'd have to
it.
See it again. Maybe you're right. I'd have to watch that again, though. But
I thought it was more difficult to deal with than some people had made it seem like it was a clear chance. Another save, another big save by Sommer. That was amazing on the Depay flick over. It's just like, so good. Lautaro off a corner misses an opportunity, and that was pretty much the extra time. How are you feeling going into the penalties, knowing what this team has shown you, that we have one reliable? Yeah, I wasn't feeling
I tweeted out that Sommer, you're gonna have to be the one to save us, because I have very little faith in our kick takers. To be honest, the only person that I was 100% confident in was Hakan. Once I saw Sanchez go up, I really wasn't feeling too confident. Yes, he scored that goal against Genoa. But my goodness, like you could tell the way when he was walking up to the ball that he did not seem totally confident. And to have Davy Klaassen take a penalty, Inzaghi, I rarely have questioned you this year, if at all. What has he done in practice that made you think, yep, he's going to be one of my five kick takers
that,
right now?
That is the question. He has done something. Obviously, like, you know.
But like Fratesi hasn't done something?
That's what I, that's,
you know,
that
like
is...
Fratesi, you have, I mean, I just, I don't know. I wouldn't have had Darmian, fine, but like Pavard.
Yep, Pavard.
Like I just
Fratesi. The only other choices would have been Pavard, Fratesi, Bissek.
And Pavard and Fratesi would have been the guys I would have gone with personally ahead of, oh my gosh, I just went blank on who it was. Alexis and
Klaassen. I would have gone with Alexis. Of course, the penalty he scored the other day was.
But if you look at his career numbers, taking penalties, not good.
I would have still went with Alexis. I honestly wouldn't
have wanted Lautaro out there, but based on who was on the pitch, he was going to be one of the guys. So I mean,
I don't know why Lautaro was the five.
I would have had him as one.
Yeah,
that would have been me. I would have put him one.
Me too.
What I would have done is kind of what Portugal does. You put a guy that you're not too confident at one, probably your second best kick taker two, and then I would have put Hakan three, and then whoever else four or five. That's how I was in my mind. I was like Lautaro takes first because that this is what I was saying. If he misses, you still have an opportunity with the other four.
That's the least pressure spot kick, and I don't like everyone. You want to get off on a good foot on a good. You know, footing, but it's the least pressure spot kick. Everything, every other kick builds on itself, right? You're always looking at what just happened on your side and what just happened on their side.
And the worst part was we went first. We went first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by missing, it took the pressure off their kick takers.
Yeah.
And I know the numbers say you should go first because you set the tone. I would always want to go second. I'm not saying that's, I just feel like, yes, like you get to see and be relieved, or you get to know, okay, I have to make this one. Like you can kind of like tinker a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't blame Sommer at all for this.
You know,
I said I would want him to make at least one save in the penalties. And he did just that. He kept us in it. Like when we missed, he made the very next save. Okay, we're back even. Like, yeah. But we just Klaassen, man. To send Klaassen out there, wild, wild. I mean, Inzaghi. Listen, I don't want to. I'm not going to nitpick here and throw him under the bus. What he's doing in the league is fantastic. But my gosh, I don't know how you. I don't know how you give it to him. I really don't. I would love to.
There's an element also of like, what do we know? You know, like we're talking about Inzaghi, who played the game.
I'm the smartest guy. I'm the smartest Inter fan. Okay, I've never had a bad take. Never been wrong.
I disagree that he should have been the guy. I think Fratesi, you know, Bissek or Pavard. I think I probably would have wanted Pavard to take it. I would have ranked them probably Pavard, Fratesi, Bissek instead of Klaassen, but. He's not going out there intentionally sabotaging the team. Like he obviously thought it was going to go differently. Yeah.
Sure. Yes. I don't think he's. Yeah. I didn't think that he was like, oh, let me put my team in a terrible situation.
What I mean is like, you know, he obviously.
And he's not the one
taking
the kicks. Like, yeah, he's right. Not the one taking them. So like, I'm not mad at him.
He wasn't the one that missed Barella chance and the Thuram chance either. You know, like
enough with the blaming Barella for that chance, brother. That was not an easy chance.
He was, what, 10 yards out from the keeper, and he drilled it right at him?
He shot that from, like, 16 yards. What are you talking about?
It's
he just
shit.
Got into the 18.
Johnny, he drilled it right at his chest, Johnny.
6 yards is 18 feet.
Johnny, at the same, you cannot at this in the same
six yards 18 feet? You didn't tell me 18 feet is easy.
In the same vein, you cannot blow up Barella as one of the best midfielders in the world and then not criticize him.
Dude, I criticized
right
him for his passing in the first half, missing so many people, turning the ball over, being sloppy all over. But to sit there and be like, oh, this instant, this shot by Barella was the turning point.
I didn't say it was the turning point. I said that the Barella and the Thuram miss were big chances missed that contributed to us losing the
game.
And
to me, that's not a big chance. To me, okay? If you get the ball played to your left, like I said, if Lauti plays it to his left and he runs on and he does the same thing, 100%. So not even a question. I'm throwing Barella under the bus because that, to me, when you have to run across. So basically, Lauti plays the ball and has the defender right in front of him. Barella has to cut across and get in front of the defender. So basically he has to hold him off and get away from him enough to create space for himself to then get a shot on goal. Granted, like Stefan said, he got the ball, that first touch to really make space, was not the best first touch. But then to get around the ball that way and put a shot on goal was not going to be easy. Do I think he should have done better? Absolutely. I don't disagree with that aspect. But to me, that was not a well-played ball to him. Like, you have him streaking on the left side. Why are you playing it so he has to cut across the... It just made no sense to me.
But do you think he would have done better if the chance was played onto his left foot?
100%, because if he played it onto his left foot, look, I'm saying to the left of the defender that was in front of Lautaro. That's what I'm saying, because he still could have brought it onto his right foot, but he could have picked right or left side. This way, when he's going away from goal, he has to get around to it with his right foot. And chances are he was always either going to put it near post or right at the keeper. At least if you played it differently to him to run onto, that way he has options to go with the shot. That doesn't mean he scores. And if he misses that, that would have been more of an indictment on Nicolò Barella. Not the way this one played out. The Thuram one, though, is 100% unforgivable. Not even on net, buddy. And you're clean in, like the only defender who was near you slid and missed the ball completely. All you had to do was set it up and put it on net.
I agree that it was likely not the easiest chance in the world. I think the outcome was not up to the standard that we should expect from the player. I think that if you look back at chances that Barella has had this year, he would agree with you. He would agree with me and say, I could have done better here. I could have done better here. I could have done better here. It's a conversation that we've had all year about his in front of net. It doesn't seem like It seems like he's rushing. And you said it yourself, like there was another outcome. Play it to the side of the keeper. I agree that the chance was difficult. I don't think the outcome was, I think it's okay to expect more of the outcome. It still could have been a save, but make it a little, don't make it as easy as it was for Jan. That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about these players.
Because I don't think we have to talk about the players.
You don't want to talk about the players?
I really don't. I don't want to give ratings. I don't want to give scores. Like I'm in such a place right now that like no one's getting higher than a 5. That's the way I'm looking at it. So
We don't have to give scores like, or anything. We should go through just because also. One of the big conversation pieces for this is going to be Inzaghi's substitutions and the choices that he made. So I think at the very least, we can go through a few of them. Sommer did everything that he could today. Didn't put a foot wrong except the pass to Depay, but that can be forgiven. The game ended with Pavard and De Vrij playing the whole game. Bastoni came out in the 73rd for Acerbi. If Bastoni wasn't carrying a knock, right? If this was just a tactical substitution, do you think it was a mistake or what do you think Inzaghi was thinking there?
Definitely think it was a mistake if it wasn't for an injury, if it was for tactical reasons. I mean, I think he's thinking that I need someone more solid defensively out there. Do I agree with that? Probably not, because I think Bastoni had actually played a pretty good game. I don't think he really put a foot wrong. I can't really think of any time where he was beat cleanly by any of the attacking players near him. So I would have taken De Vrij out. I mean, we as fans probably saw it that he was not playing up to snuff. It looked like a real stinker of a game from minute one, really, with him.
Yep.
So yeah, there better come out that Bastoni picked up a knock or something, because it just didn't make sense tactically. And I understand that if you have Augusto healthy, then that's probably the substitution that gets made, and it's not Acerbi. And you know what probably happens is Augusto comes in at left center back, Acerbi goes in at center back, yeah. And then who knows? You know, maybe you play that out obviously completely differently. But yeah, I will not understand. It better have been an injury.
I think De Vrij was one of the worst players on the pitch for us. I also don't think Pavard had a good game whatsoever. I thought he was pretty off, yeah. pretty bad.
I agree.
I don't know what exactly happened. That's a player that you spent big money on that shit the bed and looked uncomfortable. Looked uncomfortable today. Dumfries had chances, could have been better. Didn't get very involved in the second half at all. Di Marco scored the goal, put himself in some good positions. Doesn't have the legs that we needed, but gave us 84 tonight. And unfortunately, Augusto wasn't there to spell him. The best midfielder for you today, Mickey Chala or Barella?
It's probably Chala. Mickey was the worst. Not even a question.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been as frustrated with a player as I was with him today, to be quite honest. Like, to me, he was more of a detriment than Dumfries was in so many different ways.
I agree.
And the turnovers, the indecisiveness, I mean, it was just mind-boggling to me. And I think that he actually stopped a few opportunities that we had on goal, yeah, that could have led to chances. You know, it's disgusting that a player can play like that and still he played the full game himself. I think until what, 119 or something?
111 minutes.
111. Okay, fine. So, all right. So he came out with 9 minutes left. Gave David Klaassen a huge 9-minute intro. Why? Like, why? I am so glad that Zielinski's coming in, because I am tired of Mkhitaryan. If he's off the bench, I'll feel much better about that. But I am tired of Henrik Mkhitaryan being a starting player in this 11. I would take Denzel Dumfries over Mkhitaryan in the 11 100 times out of 100. That's where I'm at now with Mickey.
Yeah. The worst part of Mickey's Inter career has been the decision-making in the final third at times, right? It's not always bad, but when it's bad, it's like really bad. And for some reason, he can't get it going. Today was one of those days. Chala, I thought, would have had a better game if Inter had a different game plan. If we had been a little bit more progressive in our thinking, you would have seen better from Chala, because he would have been able to spray those passes across the pitch to players that were advancing, but that wasn't really the game plan today. So there's that. Barella, I expected better from the opportunity that he had. I understand that it was difficult. I didn't think that he was bad today.
I think his passing was very mediocre. I think the rest of, like, the effort was obviously never lacking.
Yeah.
He had a few crosses that I thought were pretty nice, but the passing, like, in the middle of the pitch was a little careless at times.
Yeah. He created a few chances. I mean, he got the assist for the goal. Again, I don't think that he was bad today, and I don't think that this loss is on him whatsoever. So he only got 84 minutes today. Would have been great if it was Fratesi for Mkhitaryan, and
Who do you think was coming off for Buchanan before he changed his mind? Because let me tell you, his speed and pace would have been to go at tired legs for 30 minutes.
Yep.
I think that would have won us the game. You can call me crazy. You can call me like insane. No, I really think that him attacking on one of the wings, whether it was left or right side, I don't care where you would have put him. You could have had, you had Bisek there as the right center back. You had Acerbi and De Vrij. I would have taken De Vrij out, put Buchanan on, moved Acerbi to the middle, left Darmian as the left center back, and then you would have had
play with no left.
Who was on the Who was playing wingback? Oh, Pavard was playing wingback.
I think it was supposed to be Pavard, because I think what we saw at the end of it with the five was clearly that Pavard wasn't taking the PK. So I think Pavard would have come out. And I think that's what he should have done.
Either way, whether it was De Vrij or Pavard, I would have been fine with either one of them coming off. Yeah, it's a shame that
I don't know why he did that.
I don't know why he changed it either. I don't know. Because then essentially, I knew Alexis was coming on. Like, I knew Alexis was coming on regardless at some point. But then it ended up being Klaassen that came on instead of, anyway.
Yeah. Thuram and Lauti both did some good stuff today. I don't think Lauti played a bad game whatsoever. I think that the way that he got hacked at all game and fouled and essentially not given the ability to breathe, there was only two instances that I can remember of being frustrated with Lauti. The first was on in the first half, when I think he got a little bit of space and instead of playing it out wide, he just took a shot from a very ambitious distance, the one that deflected off of Savic or something, and you know, Oblak ended up parrying it off the crossbar. And then the penalty miss, which was really bad. Outside of that, I thought, you know, he was giving as much as he could. Thuram was getting hacked all day, you know, elbowed in the back of the neck. He had a tough time getting space, but was forced to play a different role. Both of our strikers today were forced to play a different role. So that's all I have to say about our forwards. What about you?
Lauti is... I expected more from him in this game. I really did. I thought that this was his opportunity to really cement himself as a Ballon d'Or candidate. Now I think it's completely done. I don't think he has a chance in the world.
No.
I think he had an opportunity to gain...
Even if he finishes with like 38 goals.
He could score 40 goals in the league and he's not going to be in it. I think that he could have finished or some like really brought European attention to him. I think he, outside of Serie A, no one really rates him. And I think that this just furthers that agenda. And it's just a little frustrating. You know, listen, we know how valuable he is. I know how good of a captain he is. But like, you, at some point, you need to do it on the biggest stages.
His agents and Inter met in Madrid to discuss a contract renewal. Do you think that had any effect on him whatsoever?
No, because this has been going on for a little while, the renewal talks. Like, I mean, he's still been scoring goals, so I'll never use that as an excuse for any player. I don't care how important they are. It's just frustrating. I'm not going to throw him under the bus and say that he's a waste or that we should sell him. That's not how I feel at all. You know, as disappointed as I am in him, but I do think that penalty, you never let him take a penalty again. I mean, Hakan needs to be dead. DiMarco needs to be missing both legs. Like, I never want to see, like, in a game where we need a penalty, I do not want Lautaro taking that. I would actually trust Marko Arnautović over him on a penalty. Game on the line, I really feel that way. And you and Interis, you can come after me, you can say whatever you want. Look at Lautaro's last few penalties for us, all misses, and tell me that you would feel confident with him stepping up or over Arnautović on a penalty.
Yeah, I think his status within the team as the captain has, and of course all the goals that he scored, have sort of kept him in play for penalties. I think he wants to keep taking penalties, but he shouldn't. He should just recognize that it's a flaw in his game and either get much better at taking them, or that's it. Klaassen, thank you for nothing. Alexis, I thought you played pretty well up until the penalty miss. I don't know what that penalty was. Definitely more capable than that. Bisek, I really liked what he did today. I think he really should be playing for this team more often. I don't know what to do because I don't necessarily think that center back should be in his future, because I think it takes away from his best qualities, which is being able to drive forward from that right center back position. But I really appreciated what Bisek did today. Even when he got turned by Depay, I thought the recovery tackle was perfect. And I thought it was super strange to give a yellow for that after basically letting everything go the entirety of the game. Did not understand why in that moment that's a foul. But anyway, the rest of the subs, Fratesi had an opportunity that I thought he did as well as he could have with, you know, the angle. But it's tough to come into those games and have an impact. Darmian was okay. Acerbi was okay. And those are the subs. Anyone that in particular that you want to call out, talk about their performance?
No, not really. I mean, listen, the only guy, in my opinion, who could really hold his head up high is Jan Sommer. I think he did everything that you would want your goalkeeper to do. He made big saves in big moments. You know, the first goal, there's nothing he can do for that. I don't think any goalkeeper is making that save. The second one, De Vrij just gets absolutely spun. And that's, again, put in another bad situation. He did what I would hope to do, which is at least you have to make at least one save in a penalty shootout. And he did that after his team got a penalty saved. I feel like that's even more pressure on him to show up. And listen, hold your head up high, Jan. You did not let us down at the end of it. Your teammates kind of left you on an island at times. So it's disappointing to go out this way. It's disappointing that we don't have a chance to take on Arsenal. Forget about like the Twitter rivalry. I really think that they would have been. I honestly think they would have been an easier tie than Atletico Madrid. And I think Diego Simeone is a much better tactician than Mikel Arteta. And I think we saw that. I mean, listen, Sergio Conceição pretty much did the same thing that Atletico Madrid did in London. You know, I think that we could have had a much better situation if we went up against them, but it is what it is. We move forward, and I just want to get the 105 points and set the record.
It's a really interesting parallel between Atletico this season and Inter last season, where Atletico is in a fight for fourth place in the league, but doing well in Champions, and I can see them having a nice run in the Champions League. And Inter did essentially the same thing last season. And then this season, when we're doing well in the league, we get dumped out here in Europe. So, all right, that's the game. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to comment on this in the future. But I'm done for tonight talking about this game because honestly, yeah, I'm just emotionally drained. Emotionally drained. Yeah. What I do want to, I guess both of us can give sort of our message to the Interisti listening after this. There's going to be a lot of negativity, which is understandable. There's going to be a lot of criticism, which is understandable. Some of that is going to be over the top and just not understanding of the situation. What I really want to impart on everyone is that Inter is having a historic season. It's disappointing to get knocked out of a cup competition. Cup competitions disgusting. Are very...
Not disappointing. This is disgusting the way we lost. But go ahead. Sorry.
Disgusting the way that we lost. But either way, cup competitions can go like that sometimes. It should not take away from what this team is doing this year. I think, again, maybe a little bit victims of our own success with how bad we wanted Champions, because, again, the objective was the second star. It would suck. It would suck if your enthusiasm about this team was destroyed over this tie, especially given the type of season that we're having, the football that we're having. So I want to continue to enjoy this season, and I'm going to do my best to. Again, getting dumped out of the Champions League sucks, especially after the magical run last year. But
you know. I think that run set unfair expectations on the team in a lot of ways, because that was so unexpected that now it was expected to happen again this season, especially given the way we have been demolishing the league. However, I will say it is still very disappointing. I am very upset. I am trying not to lose it, even though there's a lot of things that I really could have gone on and said. And, you know, I'm thankful to Steph to kind of be a voice of reason right now, because I really am, like, if you would have seen me watching this game, the amount of sweat that was like coming off me and the way I was just, my heart was racing. I was so anxious. It's going to be a very difficult pill to swallow. And I think that, you know, a lot of conversations where people were trying to compare this to the Grande Inter, to the treble team, those are out the window. And even if we score, we set the record with 105 points and set the record for clean sheets, if you can't even get another trophy, I think that that's still, you know, you're just not up to par with those teams. And, you know, in where even maybe a couple of weeks ago, I would have thought that this team could have potentially beat the treble team, I think Mourinho would have had the mentality drilled into those guys to look. I mean, they took down probably the best Barcelona team in history. I don't think they would have looked at this team as an obstacle, let's be honest. Now, I'm not going to take away from what we're doing and what we are. Listen, we won a Supercopa, which isn't a big deal, but for money reasons, it is. I'm sure the team, once again, budgeted for round of 16. They probably didn't really budget further than that. So maybe financially it's not as big of a loss as it potentially could have been had we not gotten to this stage. And then, you know, I mean, there's still opportunities to just still make it a memorable year. Of course, getting that second star, like Alessandro said, was always the objective, but I think we as fans, we got a little greedy, we got a little ahead of ourselves and wanted more, and I'm guilty of that as well. But I also think that this whole tie kind of showed the limitations of squad depth for sure. You know, if you look at Arnautovic, Sanchez, Klaassen, and Aslani against Depay, Correa, Barrios, and Saul, which bench are you going to take? I think, you know, every Interisti would pick the guys that Atletico was able to bring on as opposed to what we were able to bring on.
Which is a broader discussion around the club, because the reason that looks like that is because we had to have a year of negative investment. Like, we had to make money, followed by a year of you have to finish on zero. So that's...
And look, I'm not just going to sit and blame that's those situations. I mean, yes, that definitely plays a factor, but I think as well that, you know, I think that we saw our success as something that was just going to be handed and teams were just going to roll over. And I thought that once we got that first goal with Di Marco, that was it, that Atletico was just going to be like, we're done. There's nothing we can do. And yeah, I think that this also kind of brings a light to the limitations that we have at center back. And hopefully we can, you know, maybe make a move in the summer for a guy like Calafiori or Buongiorno, because I think youth needs to be injected there.
Well, we've also praised Devray and Acerbi all year as well.
Yes, but age is catching up, man. Father Time is undefeated. 100%. You know, like, 100%. I'm just saying, like, they did not look like Devray looked old out there today.
Devray looked bad today. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's it. His career is over, but these are things you have to plan for in the future. And I think that we need that when we were thinking of wingbacks or another striker, maybe you have to look at the defense, because if you could be have defensive solidity, that's what's going to win you ties like this. Yes, goal scorers can be difference makers, but world-class defenders can be massive in cup competitions. And just food for thought. I'm not trying to like throw Acerbi in. Listen, I think Acerbi was much better than Devray today, but I'm not trying to disrespect either one of them, but I'm just saying for the future, that's going to be something to be considered about, because to go into it next season with these two guys as your main center backs, I don't think is the smartest option. But again, that's something we can talk about in the summer.
I agree with you. I just, you know, I love this team. It didn't go well for us today. We really played well against them in the first leg. We had chances that we didn't put away in both the first leg and the second leg. And now it feels like, but naturally it feels like all the air left the room and now fuck Inter and, you know, whatever. But I'm hoping that that's just a feeling that is happening in the moment and is not ultimately what this season is remembered for, because...
No, I don't think that'll be the case. I think it'll just be remembered as something that's like, oh, we expected more. We expected better. You know, honestly, I wanted at least a quarterfinal. That I'll admit. But it is what it is. You know, it played out this way. We lost. I'm very disappointed, and I am disgusted with the way that we did perform. I think that a lot of players didn't play up to their expectations. A lot of guys were very disappointing. And, you know, I think a lot of guys need to do a little bit of reflection on themselves and did I really do the best I could in this opportunity? That's all.
I agree. All right. Anything else?
I'm going to postpone the giveaway that I said I was going to do. I was going to do a Lautaro card with a game-worn piece of his jersey. I don't think we should be giving that card away right now. Not saying I'm not going to do it at all. It's still going to be done at some point, but that I think given the circumstances, it's probably not a card that people are going to be super amped up to get, so maybe a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hurting right now, but the giveaways will come back. Also, we've had, like, this is our third lost pod of the year in 40-something matches or whatever we've played, so...
Oh, gosh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, so we've had it, again, we've had a special year. It sucks to be here right now, and, you know, I think some people can be like, you guys have it much better than other clubs, and in some respects we do, but obviously there's a natural disappointment that occurs. So anyway, I think we're both going to step away from the mic now and work through this emotionally, given that we love this club so much, and no matter what happens, it's gonna hurt. So let's go deal with that. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.